The United Nations High Commission for Refugees, or UNHCR, is charged with assisting people who flee across borders to escape conflict. But in this day of modern warfare, ethnic tensions, and internal strife, millions of uprooted people relocate to other areas of their homeland. Today, there are some 25 million of these internally displaced persons, or IDPs. Frances Dang is the UN Secretary General's Special Representative on Internally Displaced Persons. I recently spoke with him about the special needs of the internally displaced. He started our conversation by outlining the difference between an internally displaced person and a refugee.
Internally displaced person is a person who has been forced to leave his or her home or areas of normal residence as a result of internal conflict, communal violence, gross violations of human rights, or natural disasters or human-made disasters, where discrimination becomes a factor.
And what is the difference between an IDP or an internally displaced person and a refugee?
Basically, if we take the classical definition of a refugee according to the 1951 Convention, it's someone who is fleeing from persecution. But if we take the definition adopted by the Organization of African Unity and also the Organization of American States, a person who is fleeing from internal conflict or among the kinds of things I said before, if they crossed international borders, would be a refugee. So the critical difference really is that internally displaced persons are those who, although they are fleeing from conditions somewhat similar to those of refugees, they have remained within the borders of their countries, have not crossed.
Do we have an accurate figure of how many IDPs there are around the world?
Again, depending on how broad you take the definition, if you take the definition I just gave, we estimate that there would be about 25 million people in over 40 countries around the world, and literally in all the continents of the world. If you broaden that and you include, which some try to do, people who migrate into urban centers as a result of either poverty or because of development projects, dams and things like that, then the number would increase considerably. It would be actually over 40 million. I would believe even more than that.
And how does that number compare with what the numbers were 10, 15 years ago?
Well, you know, when I was given this assignment in 1992, I believe we estimated that there were some 14 million IDPs. Since then, the number has increased considerably. That is also a function of the increase in conflicts, but it could also be a function of better information about what goes on within countries. Because during the Cold War period, we really did not have access to internal situations, partly because those situations were either managed or covered up or shielded anyway by international divisions behind the superpowers, the polarization of the world, in which what happened within countries was pretty much taken care of by the countries concerned with the support of their superpower ally. But since the end of the Cold War, the pressures for human rights concerns as well as humanitarian situations and the overall modification, if not eradication or elimination of the barriers of sovereignty, I think has given us more access to the real situations and therefore to more numbers than were available to us before.
You mentioned that this is a phenomenon that has happened in all continents across the world. Is there a certain place where there's more of a concentration of IDPs than in others?
Yes. I think the general rule is that while it is affecting all the continents, some regions are worse off than others. For instance, Africa is the worst hit. It has almost half the total population of displaced persons. In Africa itself, some countries are worse off, including my own country, the Sudan, which has 4.5 million, and certainly the worst in the world.
And is the situation in Africa the result of a natural disaster in most cases or conflict?
This is mostly the result of conflict. And again, the thing about these conflicts is they're usually characterized by ethnic or religious or cultural differences, which, as I see it, create conditions of conflict of identities within the country.
And some of these people have been internally displaced for decades. This is not just a short-term phenomenon.
That's right. As long as the war continues, and in some countries, internal conflicts have gone on for decades, and therefore they remain exposed to those conflict situations. I should say that a lot has been done since by the international community to respond to the situation. For instance, in the case of refugees, we have the 1951 Convention on Refugees and the institution of the High Commissioner for Refugees to respond to their needs, and they are quite well protected legally and institutionally. With respect to the IDPs, as we call them, there is no legal instrument protecting them, nor is there any one organization. What we have been working on for the last decade or so has been to develop a legal framework building on existing human rights law, humanitarian law, and analogous refugee law. And we have come out with a restatement of the law that exists in the form of guiding principles on internal displacement, which have become quite accepted, not as a legally binding instrument, but as a persuasive document that has a degree of moral authority.
And can you tell me what those principles are?
These principles deal with what you do to prevent displacement. If you live up to a minimum of human rights standards, you create a situation where people are protected and therefore you avoid displacement. It also stipulates very specifically the right not to be arbitrarily displaced. Now, once you have been displaced, there are basic needs for physical protection, security, respect for the rights of those who have been displaced, as well as humanitarian assistance. So the principles also provide for providing these necessities. Then you also have a situation where if the security situation improves, we move towards solutions which include return, alternative settlements or resettlement, and integration. And then you move on to potentials for development, which in themselves also become preventive. Now, I should say that the responsibility for this sort of situation, responding to the protection and assistance needs of the displaced, is supposed to be that of the states concerned. We do know, of course, that in some cases, these states are poor, weak, and lack the capacity to provide adequate protection or assistance, in which case the international community is then expected to step in.
Francis Deng is the UN Secretary General's Special Representative on Internally Displaced Persons.